presence of our God again this morning, to be thankful for the gift and blessing of another day on this earth, as we remember his sacrifice, as we grieve with Paul and the rest of the family, and continue to remember them in our prayers. And in thinking about that, maybe you're weary and exhausted. Are you? Are you weary and exhausted because you're carrying all the load on your own, the loss of a loved one, taking care of a spouse or a parent, or bringing up children? Are you burdened with a sickness that won't go away? Are you suffering persecution because of doing God's will? Are you tired of doing what's right, especially when everyone else to be content to do what is wrong in the sight of God? Are you suffering from some kind of an addiction as you are practicing sin? Why are you weary and exhausted? Why are you weary and exhausted because of worry? We need to recognize that this can be something that plagues even those who are faithful. For you look in Luke chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, and of course, here is Mary and Martha, obviously good friends of Jesus. They know him very, very well. And here we see they welcome Jesus into their home. In verse 39, we see that Martha has a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up and said to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." As you think about the long-term illness and caring for somebody, caring for your spouse, and here you're doing it all alone, and here you have your brothers and sisters in Christ. There are some who might be weary and heavy laden by a difficult task. And here we, as children of God, we bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. At Galatians 6 and verse 2. In those circumstances, as you think about concerning worry and concern, that as you look upon Jesus and she's telling, "You need to have my sister help me," the demand that is there. Is she doing what is wrong as she's preparing for all these things? Well, as she's doing all these things, she's frustrated. And sometimes we get frustrated when we're weary and exhausted. And we might worry about things. And we need to recognize, as you look upon Martha, is listening to Jesus. She's not worried. So, well, she's not helping. There was obviously the time for that preparation. The time was to listen to Jesus at this point. When you think about God not hearing and answering in prayers, and I'm weary, you think about the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times that it might be removed from him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." We'll make that point later on also. You think about the enduring with sickness. This is the point. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 concerning Paul's thorn in the flesh. We'll go to the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness.'" We think about the enduring with sickness and the difficulties of that. And it's day after day. It's month after month. It's year after year. And you think about, I've prayed over and over and over again, and it just appears to me that God isn't hearing and answering my prayers concerning enduring with sickness. Are you dealing with that? As you think about concerning a sickness that is not going away and it's only getting worse and worse and worse. You look at the Apostle Paul and his example, maybe sometimes it just might be, I'm not saying definitely it might be in your circumstance, but it might be concerning what the Apostle Paul said here, to keep me from exalting myself. He mentioned that two different times in verse 7. You think about concerning the messenger of Satan, as far as a thorn in the flesh, it's a thorn in my side, I can't serve God the way I need to serve. Well, maybe it's an opportunity that we won't exalt ourselves because we're going to be dependent upon God the rest of our lives. And you know that as a result of that, that you can still be that example, even though as you look upon the Apostle Paul, that it appears to God not hearing and answering my prayers. And I'm weary and exhausted. Also, it might be because of affliction due to persecution. The Apostle Paul understood all about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as they're placing confidence in the flesh, the Apostle Paul could have done that. Could have put confidence in the flesh. As Brett had mentioned earlier in our Bible class, you know, he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. And he had riches and power and influence as he is persecuting the church. And so he could put his stock in the flesh, but he didn't, as Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, clearly. He gave up all things for loss, for knowing the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. But as a result of serving Christ Jesus, his Lord, he suffered greatly in the flesh. In verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, he said, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. Night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. You think about the weariness and the burden of being suffering for the cause of Christ. And here is about there, all these others are not doing the will of God. They're persecuting him. And it's not fair, it's not right, this affliction due to persecution. And so who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? The weariness. Are you weary because of suffering affliction due to persecution and the name calling, the isolation, the frustration of in dealing with things that's just not right? Well, we take Christ out of the occasion. We understand concerning we are suffering for righteousness. All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Why are you weary and exhausted? Maybe because of always doing what's right. I'm tired of doing what's right. From a physical standpoint, what good is it getting me in this life? What benefit is there concerning righteousness in this world? Well, if you just go by this world, we're of all men, we are of all people most to be pitied. We recognize we are serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he will give us the strength to overcome and do his will. Or maybe it's because we're weary and exhausted because we're yielding to sin. Sin is a great burden. The way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs 13 and verse 15. You look upon David as he writes concerning his feelings as he is overburdened with sin. And notice his description here in Psalm 38 in verse 1. He said, O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger, for your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. Now, what we need to recognize is that if we are in sin and we're weary and exhausted because of sin, that we need to recognize concerning how God is looking upon us at that time. And obviously, for a period of time, as David is committing adultery with Bathsheba, and he's trying to cover up his sin, and he has her husband, her faithful husband, who's out in the field serving in the Lord's army, to come back to come and cover up his sin and have him executed. And after that, he marries her, and it looks like everything is fine. He needed to have these arrows because he knew what he had done, what was wrong. While he's going through this, he said in verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. Can't make excuses or justify or rationalize what he had done. He was guilty of sin, and he felt bad about it. We should feel bad if we're yielding to sin the way David was. He continues, said, my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. For my loins are filled with burning. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. The whole thing is, maybe as you look upon some that are yielding to sin, and they feel good about that. They feel wonderful. But the whole thing is that as far as knowing the truth and being guilty of sin, this is the way that you should feel in your flesh, because the recognition is concerning those sins separate you from God. Back in Psalm 32, David said, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. So as you think about in some circumstances that you think about in a way concerning sin being a heavy burden, and from a psychological standpoint concerning other illnesses may occur as a result of your sin. It's not always the case with that. But we see here concerning that the Lord's hand was heavy upon him. Are you weary and exhausted because you are yielding to sin, and that is why you are tired? Well, there's temptations because of this weariness. How many times have you and I said things that you shouldn't have said? Very likely, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we've all done it. When you think about being short-tempered and lash out in frustration, Satan might be blamed for your illness. You know, he wanted Job to blame God and curse him. But we know it's never God's fault. Let no man say that when he is tempted. I am being tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil. Neither does he tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he is carried away by his own lust. Lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. We're afraid as we think about persecution. How can we be the light of the world and be the salt of the earth? As we think about concerning, we are weary for suffering for doing what is right. As we think about blaming God for your illness, as we think about concerning Job, or maybe becoming like the world to avoid persecution, we're to be the salt and light of this world. You see that in Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is suffering in the flesh, suffering persecution. In Galatians 6 and verse Galatians chapter 6, we'll go back to verse 12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not what? So they won't be persecuted for the cause of Christ or the cross of Christ. The temptation is that I'm going to avoid all persecution. As we talked about the church at Laodicea, as Brett had taught this morning concerning just being like the world, avoiding persecution. They want peace at all costs. Is that us? Man, we have the temptation to quit because we're burned out. Are you burned out from serving the Lord, always doing what is right? Because if you're going to do it in your own strength, you're going to fail in your own strength. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Or maybe you can say because of sin that I'm just too great a sinner to be forgiven. It's not possible for me to be forgiven. I've done something so terrible and so wicked. And you think about concerning David, have you done worse than David did? Committed adultery and then premeditated murder? Jesus promises rest for the weary. In Matthew chapter 11, hopefully that familiar passage that we should think about often. In Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." As you think about concerning rest for the weary, feeling fatigue, working hard, heavy laden, to load up concerning the definition, to be overburdened with ceremony or spiritual anxiety concerning all the things that are going on in the world, whether some are worried about what is the future going to be for America, what is going to happen with election, what is going to happen concerning my life and with my illness or taking care of others. Worry about all of those things. The devil is happy when you're worried about all of those things. What are we told to do in Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34? In Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34, as Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He's talking about the necessities of life here. "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Can we all say that? And we've learned that. You want to borrow tomorrow's troubles today? There is enough trouble and difficulty today. If we do what the Lord says, we will have rest. You understand, in the right rest, that doesn't mean that we're not concerned about things, but worried and anxious to whereby we can't function and fulfill our responsibilities that we have in our life, especially our responsibility as a Christian to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Put him first. Are you doing that in your life? I recognize concerning as you look upon worry, that's a great temptation. But you know, the Apostle Paul told the Philippian brethren, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do you believe that? If you're worrying, you don't really believe that. Don't worry, seek God first and pray. We look upon the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the answer from the Lord. I kind of jumped the gun earlier. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. "The Lord has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in" what? Not in strength, but in weakness. The Apostle Paul's attitude is what we should have, because sometimes it just might be, I don't have the strength to endure anymore. I've heard that over and over again from several here, just in the, I don't have the strength to endure through anymore. Well, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can help remind them of passages like this. The Apostle Paul was told, "My grace is enough for you. Power is perfected in weakness." God's grace will help you to endure. Yes, I recognize concerning at first when you're going through difficulty, probably the initial thing may not be that. I understand that. And I'm learning that in my life. But the Apostle Paul, by the time he is writing this, notice how he responds to that. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about what?" Most people are going to be boasting about their good deeds. They're going to be boasting about their strength. They're going to point out, maybe sometimes to you, that they're better than so many other individuals. The Apostle Paul didn't boast about any of those things. Look at all the people I've baptized. Look at all the gospel meetings I've preached. I preached to all these people, to kings and the governors and all that. Look at all the people I know. No, he said, "I'm going to boast about my weaknesses." Why? "So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore," he concludes, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Have we learned that lesson yet? Might be a lifetime lesson as you think about God's grace helps us, any of us, to endure every day of our life. But it might be especially as you think about Satan is really working. He's really working here on this congregation. You think about the elders and the heavy burden that they have. Not only have they had their own burdens, Bruce recovering from open heart surgery and Brett taking care of Joy and all the many surgeries that she's had. But they have taken themselves on the burden of the responsibilities of watching over the flock here. Are you thankful for that as you think about God's grace helping you to endure, that you have his servants out there that are watching out for you and seeing to your spiritual needs and physical needs if that's needed? And the whole thing is that as you look upon this example, hey, you know what? I'm weak, but you know I'm strong spiritually. And just like Sharon pointed out concerning her smile. And the last thing I remember her saying to me while she was throwing up in the hospital and I was feeling bad sympathy with that, "I hope you feel better." We think about concerning persecution. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 through 16. The Apostle Peter talks much about this. And we have studied in 1 and 2 Peter when we went through those books. Very excellent study. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter in verse 12 said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fire ordeal among you, which comes upon you for what reason? Is it coming because of you're a sinner? You're addicted to sin? No, for your testing." Here concerning how are you going to be faithful to the Lord or not? When you look at concerning the wilderness wanderings, here they have been brought out of Egyptian bondage and they're on their way to the promised land, and here are the tests they're given. Why was God allowing them to be thirsty and hungry out there in the wilderness? Because you can imagine, you know, it's 120 degrees like it is in the summertime. No, maybe 100, 105. And we're weary out there. Would we be complaining like the Israelites? I'm fearful that we might be. We have air conditioning. They didn't. They were hungry. They were thirsty. And God allowed that to happen to test them. To understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, God provided for them, but it was a test, and they were constantly complaining and moaning and whining. Here, as you look upon Christians when we are suffering, especially for those who are new Christians, to understand this, Don't think it as though some strange thing were happening to you. As you look to the Word of God, it's a test of your faith. Verse 13, this is the way that we should all look upon this. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Not just a one-time thing of rejoicing, but keep on rejoicing. Present active indicative from the Greek here. Why? So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. As we think about concern, these things are going through our mind and our self-esteem is starting to crumble because of all the pressure of the wicked and them trying to get us to quit serving God or just to go along with what their sin is. We need to, as you look upon this, to keep on rejoicing. Why? Because you are blessed when you are reviled for the name of Christ. Go back to what the Word of God says. This is where our self-esteem should come from concerning our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ, because the world is going to hate us. And he says at the end of verse 14, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. When the test is coming and here revile for the name of Christ, you are blessed. This is why each and every one of us can rejoice when we are suffering persecution. As he continues, though, he said, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. The idea of we're going to seek revenge on our enemies in some way or try to get back in them in some way. They stole from me and I'm going to steal from them. They did evil to me, I'm going to do evil to them. Gossip or slander. Curse them. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. But how many times are we ashamed? I can't believe what God's word says about homosexuals today. That's a terrible thing. Why did God have to put that in his word? He's the creator of the universe. It's not politically correct or biblically correct as far as the compromise that the world, as far as just saying, well, God loves everybody, and so they can be in fellowship, they can even preach, they can do all these things. How does that look to the Lord? As you look upon the church at Laodicea, and he talked about, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And as you look upon suffering persecution for standing up for sexual purity and standing up for marriage and what God said about marriage, persecution is going to come. But you know what? God's glory rests upon the persecuted. So don't be ashamed, but glorify God in this name. And also you will reap if you don't give up, if you're tired of doing what is right. In Galatians chapter 6, Apostle Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we what? If we do not grow weary. If we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. Talk about that in the book of Revelation concerning overcoming. Every church there, the seven churches of Asia, were told, you have to overcome. Even the good churches told them that. You've got to overcome. You will reap if you don't give up, but if you give up, there is no reward. We can keep on keeping on as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, so think about it, it was for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not become weary and lose heart, weary and discouraged in your souls, as one translation would say. You will reap if you don't give up. And then also, those who are enslaved sinners, they can be free. Can be free in Christ concerning no matter what you have done. You look upon about the 3,000 that were baptized on the day of Pentecost here. Were they deserving of that? Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Pilate is trying to set him free. They wanted him crucified. And 50 days later, they had the opportunity to hear the gospel. But here in John chapter 8, we'll go back to John chapter 8. In this passage here in John 8, in verse 31 and following. John 8, verse 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." As we think about concerning the word of God and learning from Jesus, who promised rest for the weary, we can be free. As he continues, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them. He gets back to the point here. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Be free from sin. What a wonderful thing. You learn of Jesus. What did he do? He humbly obeyed his Father in everything that was commanded him. In John 15, in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Verse 3 and 4. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." As you look upon the facts of the case, about 20 years after these events had happened, he could point out this was in accordance to the Scriptures, that he died so that your sins could be forgiven. By the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Well, about his commandments, aren't they kind of burdensome? There are some difficult commands in there. I don't think I can obey some of those commandments. As far as repentance, you know, I'm not one that likes to apologize. I don't like to change. You know, I'm stubborn. That's just the way I was born. That's just the way I am. Well, that person isn't going to be saved in his rebellion. It was just still a shocking thing that's reverberating in my mind, going to a funeral where the one who was doing the funeral said, "Oh, yes, we thank you, God, for this person, even in his stubbornness." I was shocked. No, as you think about being stubborn, God is not going to be thankful for that. He doesn't appreciate that. His commandments are not too burdensome to obey. In 1 John chapter 5, in 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John says these words. He said, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? They are not burdensome." Are they some of them difficult? Obviously, some of them are difficult, but they are not so much so that we can't obey those commandments. It's the way that we look about it. The Lord has commanded, I will obey. Well, doesn't that mean that you're earning your salvation? No, if you remember back in Luke chapter 17, in Luke chapter 17, in Luke chapter 17, in verse 10, "When you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done." If somebody comes and tells you that you think that you're earning your salvation, it's really blasphemy against God. He's the one who's given the commandments. We have only done our duty if we obey the commandments, but we obey the commandments Jesus said, if you love me, you will do that. You will keep my commandments. How do we look upon the commandments? James 1 verse 25 talked about it being the perfect law of liberty. Do you look at it that it's freeing you from sin, or it's keeping you, preventing you from doing and fulfilling your lustful desires in your life? Because it's all in the way that you look upon it. You will find your rest for your souls in him. First of all, understanding his commandments are all good and they're beneficial to our souls so that we might be saved and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the worldly wise, they weren't going to humble their pride. Well, will you? When you look right before that passage in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, you may not always notice Matthew 11, verse 25. Jesus is praying to Father, and he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then he said, come to me, all you are weary. Because the prideful aren't going to submit. The disciples had to learn, as they're thinking about an earthly kingdom, and here's how Jesus humbles them. Because they're asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself. Anytime that we're thinking that we're too big for our britches, you can go back to the word, and we need to be humbled. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to go there. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 5, again talking about humility here. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. Jesus loves you, and he died for you. Why not obey the gospel this morning? The evidence is clear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess him before this audience this morning. Repent and be baptized so that your sins might be forgiven. Because stubbornness is not going to get you into heaven. We have to change our will for God's will. Humble ourselves. Why would you go before Judgment Day unprepared to meet the Lord and be told, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, when you could have been told, enter into the joys of the Lord? Because it's only those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven are going to enter there. While many are calling Jesus Lord, will be told, depart from me. Obey the gospel. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored, God calls. We encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.